Welcome back to Talking Art, supported by Quad City Bank and Trust. Today, I am thrilled to be talking art with abstract painter and creative placemaker Gabriela Torres. Gabby, welcome to Talking Art.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you here. We've crossed paths through the art world so many times.
So many times.
And you've got a huge event coming up.
I do.
Yeah, tell us about the Paint It Back Festival.
Okay, so the Paint It Back Festival is, where to begin? So Paint It Back, we are a 501c3, so we are a nonprofit organization, and we became an organization through our Paint It Back Street Art Festival.
Right.
So the Street Art Festival is basically a week where we, there was this, I guess I should probably, you know what, the best way to explain what the festival is, yeah, is probably to talk about how it came to be.
Yeah.
Can I do that?
Please.
Okay, perfect. Because I think that'll give context for everything. So back in 2023, I have my art studio in a gallery that will be opening soon on Main Avenue in Clinton, Iowa, and it is kitty corner to what has been always known as the Toyota Building, which was an old car dealership. It's like the last standing piece of this old dealership. It's like 8,000 square foot. It used to be, I think they used to do like repairs or something. It was an automotive garage,
sure,
of some kind,
yeah,
right? And I always loved that building because, yeah, I'm just like, oh my gosh, that is such a treasure. Like, there's so many, you know, like artists that were always like, that's a playground, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that has so much potential.
I love seeing old abandoned buildings.
Yes.
It's like,
yes,
that's what gets me going.
Yes. I'm like, what can I do with this? And so we were having our annual Lions Art and Wine Walk, and so I was in front of my building kind of handing out snacks and treats and things like that, and I just kept looking at it, and, you know, over the years, it had just sort of fallen into, like the garage door windows had been kind of broken, and there was plywood, and it just was kind of sad to see it look like that, you know? And so I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, gosh, what can I do? And so in 2022, in October, I had gone to Miami. I was part of a group art, a show there.
Yeah.
So I went, and while I was there, the gallerist was like, oh, have you been to Wynwood? And I'm like, no, what's that? And they're like, oh my gosh, you have to go to Wynwood. And I'm like, okay. So on one of the days off, I was like, okay, I took an Uber, went to Wynwood. And so, you know, Miami is a very colorful city, but a lot of the buildings, at least in my recollection, they're like, I just remember it feeling like super beige and like sandy color.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, those like warm weather colors.
Right, warm weather. Yeah, exactly. You know? And so I'm in this Uber driving on this like overpass thingy. And then I just sort of remember looking out the window and being like, and just seeing this, like, all of a sudden there's all this color. So you go from, yeah, beige into like just bright, colorful, dynamic, you know, and
like
you're like
Oz.
Like Oz. Yes, it was like Oz, like waking up in Oz, right? And I'm like, oh my gosh, what is that? And that we get off the exit, and that was Wynwood. So Wynwood is a neighborhood in Miami,
yeah,
that had, so I did a little bit of research, and I know I need to do more, but just sort of surface research, it used to be have full of warehouses, and they produced or housed or did something with textiles. And that was like the main business there,
sure,
or what was happening. And that industry, I should say. And so then, but when that died out, those buildings just became sort of abandoned and neglected and were just there, right? So they were empty. And it attracted, like, unfortunately, you know, those spaces tend to be like go-tos then for like activities that, you know, that aren't,
yes,
great. It's kind of,
yep,
sad. But there were a lot of like walls, right? Empty,
yeah,
walls. So of course, you know who shows up, right?
Yeah.
The graffiti artists,
the
murals, the writers,
yeah,
the street artists, the muralists. And so they were the first to kind of go and like start making art. And then there was a gallery that was very smart because they knew immediately that once they saw that the artist had arrived, and so they knew immediately that was gonna, it was just a matter of time before they,
yeah,
turned it around, right? So they established a gallery, and then this developer who, he's passed, but he called himself like a creative placemaker before it was like
a buzzword, yeah,
right? The buzzword. And so he bought like a city's block worth of these warehouses. Mm-hmm. And then he enclosed them and he created a street art like museum and gallery. So, and he called it Wynwood Walls. And that was really the anchor point and what really started this entire street art culture there that turned everything. So now it's just the whole neighborhood became a canvas.
That's
and
awesome.
It really is awesome. And now it's like, you know, and of course, after that was established, then it was lightning fast boutiques, restaurants, bars, the things that cafes, you know, mm-hmm. all the things that follow the arts. And so it totally transformed that neighborhood. And now you can't go there without their like massive developments. Now it's like, you know, and this is some of this. I have mixed feelings about this part, right? Because like it's not a great, it's not always a great after effect. There is a tipping point to development,
yeah.
right? Where it's like now everyone's priced out.
Yeah.
But now it's the most, one of the more expensive neighborhoods in Miami, right? But the heart of that story though was how art and street art and public art, right? Because it was accessible for everyone, completely transformed that area and brought it back to life. It resuscitated it.
Yeah.
So 2023, May, first Thursday of May, I'm in front of this building, or in front of my building, looking at the Toyota building. Now we call it the Painted Back building. But at the time, everyone knows it as the Toyota building. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, okay, you know what? And I just, it just clicked. I was like, oh my gosh, Wynwood, right? And Chris Shannon, who is my partner in life and also my partner with Painted Back, and in art and everything. He is an incredible muralist, and he also is well connected with like the whole street art world and writers and everything. Yeah. So, and I was just like, oh my gosh, why don't we just do a mini Wynwood? Like, why don't we just do that, right?
Yeah.
And we'll just see what happens. And I know the owner, the owners of the property are the Sawmill Museum, and you know, it's a lot of property, right? So. They weren't sure what they wanted to do with it yet or what was the best use for it. So I thought, well, shoot, while they're trying to figure out what to do with it, why don't we just cover it in art? Like, why don't we do this in the meantime?
Yeah.
So I remember messaging Chris and being like, okay, do you want to do like a street art festival? Like, do you want to do the cover this in murals? Yeah. And he's like, yes. Like, awesome. So then I proposed, like, so the last Thursday in that month of May, I went to the Sawmill board and was like, this is my proposal. I showed them all these pictures from Wynwood. I'm like, believe me, like, this will change this part of Main Avenue.
Yeah.
Which, you know, much of our Main Avenue it's well developed, lots of active storefronts and all that. But when I bought my building where I have my studio and my gallery, like, it was like the Wild West. We were like the last we're the last block before the river, you know? And so I'm like, okay, I promise you, like, if this will help revitalize and re-energize this area, and yeah. it'll also help drive traffic to the museum, which also sits kind of in this back.
Well, yeah, that's going to extend exactly, the downtown to the river. And
so yeah. And they were super, they were like, yeah, let's do it. They totally let us do it.
That's great.
It was awesome. So in 3 months, we planned a festival, which essentially is this. We invite artists from all over the country to come. They spend 1 week. They can paint whatever they want, so long as it's family friendly. And then at the end of the week, we celebrate it with a big block party. And that's essentially the festival.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And you do it every year. So these murals are only up for one year.
Yes. Which is like a concept that people don't. And now they're starting to get it and accept it. Initially, people were like, why would you paint over it? But when I explained it to the Sawmill board, and you know what I explained to people is that like it keeps it evergreen. It keeps it dynamic, it keeps it fresh, and that's why people will come to visit, because they want to see the murals before they change.
Right.
And again, this is I totally modeled this after what Wynwood does. You know, they have their, when you go, or Wynwood Walls, when you go into the Wynwood Walls area, you know, they have some murals that like are, I think, fairly permanent or semi-permanent.
Sure.
But then there are certain walls that are constantly changing, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why they get people who come again and again and again, you know? And they attract tourists from all over the world. Oh, I mean, it is also Miami, but...
Right.
But still, right?
Clinton is very similar to Miami.
I mean, there's water.
There's water.
Okay.
There's a boat.
There's boats. We love boats. Miami loves boats. I mean, really, the list goes on, but I won't bore everyone with the similarities.
Well, so you gave me so much to talk about right there that
I'm so sorry.
I can't wait to dive in. But when are just logistically, when are the dates this year? When can people come and see the action?
Yes.
See people painting. Go to the block party.
Yes. Okay. So the action. Artists arrive on August 16th, and that's when the painting will begin. And then the painting continues throughout the week and is completed by the 23rd of August. So then some community dates and things for people to participate in. So on the August 21st, we are hosting a sponsor night. So it's kind of our thank you to our sponsors, our volunteers, and our Paint It Back board, and the people who've just been with us along the way and helped make this massive undertaking possible. So we are doing that, and I'm so excited for this because, you know, it's not enough to plan this massive festival. I also was like, it'll be the soft opening for our art gallery. Because why not?
Why not? Do it all at once.
So that will be in our art gallery. So what's cool about that is the artists are shipping and bringing with them art so we can hang some of their art, their pieces. Awesome.
Yeah.
And we're also getting some prints made of the walls from last year.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be the show that's being, our first show that will hang in 81 Main, which is the name of the gallery. And we'll have some live music, we'll have munchies, we have some refreshments, and it's, you know, 5 to 7, and just an opportunity for our sponsors. And again, everyone who's made it possible, they can come in, the artists will be there, see the art, you know, and also it'll be an opportunity to fundraise.
Yeah.
To continue that ever, you know, because fundraising is like year round, right?
Especially these days.
Yeah, especially these days. Yes. So that's Thursday night. And then Friday night, we will have our meet and greet event, which is at the Paint It Back building. So that's at the corner of McKinley and Main in Clinton, Iowa. And we will, that's from 6 to 9. We'll have the associate who is our Paint It Back DJ. And then we have Delectable Delights, which is a local Clinton food truck. And then we have the Rusty Wagon, which I just call the Booze Wagon because that's what it is. It's where you get your booze. It's where you get your drinkies. And so they'll all be there. So we'll have music, food, booze, and the artists will be there. And you can either, if you pre-ordered your t-shirt, then you bring your shirt. Or if you don't have your shirt, you buy your t-shirt, and then they sign it. And, like, I feel like when I say that they sign the shirt, I'm really not doing justice to what they do because they just...
Well, they're street artists, so I'm sure that signature is a piece of art in itself.
So they're beautifying their... They're turning your t-shirt into art.
Right.
And so that's just super cool to see that and to have that, like, so you leave with, like, a bespoke, no one will have the t-shirt like you because everyone they do is different.
That's awesome.
So that's super awesome. And then one of our artists, his name's Donald Ross from Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
He also goes by Scribe. And he's a supremely talented artist and is just one of the most creative minds I've ever met. And he is also, we're going to screen his film that he just produced, and it just came out this year, called The Scribbleverse, which is an 18-minute long film that is essentially just like getting, you enter into his mind and his imagination because, so he is like super prolific and has tons of work all over and in like the Children's Hospital in Kansas City, and he even like wrapped some of the ambulances, I think, that are for kids and the plane that is for kids and all this stuff. And so the pieces that he ends up doing on walls and things are actually characters and scenes that characters from this whole world he's created that he creates children's books based on these characters. And so even his production wall that he did last year with East and Emit from Colorado, that was featured in his latest children's book. So it's super cool. So this Scribbleverse film is kind of like getting into that, his mind and his world.
Sure.
So we'll screen that, and then we will do a fam. So I think at 8:30 we're going to screen that, and then at 9 we'll do a PG-13 is what I was told I could do. Art-related film that I have yet to pick. So I don't know. If you have suggestions, please let me know. But anyway, so yeah, so that's Friday night. So that's just Friday night. And the big event, the massive event, is August 23rd is our block party.
Right.
So yeah.
That's where the murals are completed or near completion.
Yes, yeah. So the block party, and if I am just a wall of words, just tell me to press pause because, like, I can talk about this straight for probably 2 to 3 hours. It's just so much information. But if you're okay, I'll continue.
No, let's go.
Let's go dive in.
I don't have to edit it. He does.
Okay. Ha ha. Yay. Lucky you. Okay.
Thank you, Mark. Yeah.
So the block party. The block party is Saturday, August 23rd from noon until 10 p.m. And this year we've added so many things, which is super exciting. I really was like, this year I want to lean into that festival vibe. We say we're the Paint It Back Street Art Festival. I really want it to feel like a festival.
Yeah.
Even for just a day, right? Yeah. So we have... We have our main stage. So when you enter, basically, you're going to have, there's like the main stage, we'll have bands and music from noon until 10. So we have, I don't know if you want me to list everyone who's going to be there, or sure. I can just do an overview first. What do you prefer?
I'm fine either way. I want you to tell me what you want to tell people.
I want to tell people so many things. I just wish I could have coffee with everyone and just be like, okay. All right, drink of water and I'm going to dive in. Okay. So, and I brought a cheat sheet too, because there's enough, it's a lot and I don't want to miss anything or anyone. Okay. So for the block party, I also want to say our block party this year is the official after party for the FitPro 5K race.
Okay.
Which is awesome. They reached out to us and were like, hey, we want Paint It Back, your block party to be our official after party. Which is so great because it's already driving people to our event, which I'm, super grateful for.
It's a big weekend in
Clinton. Yeah, it is. I mean, people, like, we actually have lots of stuff that goes on, like, all the time, you know? So it's cool. It's nice in that we're forming these partnerships and stuff.
Yeah.
So from noon until 4 is kind of our kids' time.
Sure.
So we will have our kids zone. We have a kids wall. So each year we've always had our kids wall. And this year we are adding, I think we're going to make it longer and we're adding stencils. So we always.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. So like, I mean, and the kids, they love the kids wall. Like they love it a lot. It fills up within like an hour. That's why I'm like, I think we need to double. And we have like a 50-foot we bought these old billboard thing, tarps or whatever. They're huge. And we thought, okay, 50 foot, we have plenty of space. But I think like in an hour and a half, I'm like, are you kidding me? Like it was just totally.
That's awesome.
It is so awesome. And I love to keep those. So we have those for us we hold on to those. So we'll have our kids wall. And this year we are adding stencils. So I think that'll be really fun for kids to be able to like put the stencil up and spray it and then see like an image afterwards. And it's, and it's part of the art form. So super exciting. We have Characters to Life they're doing, balloon art, glitter body art, and then face painting, which will be fun, so the kids can like, or kids at heart, I don't think they have an age restriction. You know, I might get my face painted if I have time. So there's that. So they'll be there. And then we have Clinton Public Library, and they're bringing some kids' games. And then the Sawmill Museum is doing, they're very kid-friendly. It sounds terrifying. It is Velcro axe throwing, but for kids. So no one will get hurt. It's plastic. I've seen it. It's okay. And then, so that is the kids zone area. And then our sheriff's department is bringing, they have this cute little train that they bring and they just drive the kids around. So they'll be there too. So there's like fun stuff for the kids to do.
Yep.
And parents, the Rusty Wagon's going to be there starting right at noon. Where we're putting the wagon, you will have eyes on the kiddos. So the kids can have fun and play, and you can maybe have a Bloody Mary or something, or your carbless, or your Busch Light. Or
whatever
maybe
you want.
A bottled water or a Coca-Cola. I don't know. But you can sit down in the shade because we're having a lot more tents this year, so there's shaded areas.
Yeah.
And so you can sit down and watch your kids have fun while you also have fun and enjoy yourself. Because while the kids are playing, we also have live music. So even starting right off at noon, we have Christina, Marie, and Sean Healy of Dubuque. They are going to be our kickoff. They're going to kick it off from 12 to 2, and that's a mix of like jazz and blues and folk music. It's going to be awesome. I'm so excited. And then from 2 until 5, we have DJ Angel coming in from Chicago, and it's like super, like, it's going to be so much fun. It's like Latin vibes, very party.
Oh, fun.
Like, ooh, yeah, yeah. A lot of, I hope to see dancing, especially with the booze wagon on the premises.
Yeah.
I feel like
people will be ready to dance.
They might be ready to dance. And then we have the Bill and Dan Dunmore of the Harvest Band out from Iowa City. They'll be there from 5 to 7. 7 to 8 is the Malortians from Clinton, Iowa. And then our official Paint It Back Band. We love them. Dear friends, the Stockwells. And they close us out from 8 to 10. So the music is all day.
That's awesome.
All day. And then so when the kids... The other sort of activity kids really, and also I think this is for everyone, which I'm super excited about. So I mentioned Ollywood from Dubuque.
Yeah.
That's an indoor skate park. They're a nonprofit. It's super amazing. And I believe Jason is the mastermind behind that. He is bringing a ramp. And so from noon to 4, there will also be like BMX demonstration, show, tricks.
That's
like, how
fun.
Cool is that? Yeah, I am so excited for that. So that's also happening like from 12 to 4. And then at 2 o'clock, we have our classic car show starts, which will be, so we're blocking off two streets.
This is like 14 events
in one. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's what I wanted. I wanted it to be like, there is something for everyone.
Yeah.
And my vision too was like, I want all of the space activated. I want it to just be stuff, things, you know, people, movement, excitement, energy. So two, the classic cars start to show up and they'll park from 2 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
And also at 2, the paint battle begins. So this year we are adding our paint battle. And what that will be, we have two artists. We had a submission. You guys helped us share that, which was very – so thank you so much. It was very helpful. So we have Jacob Schanauer from Clinton, and then Jacob – I want to say – I don't know if it's Kupperman or Cooperman from Des Moines, but he will also be participating. And so we have three judges. So this year our judges are Wes, Emmett, and Hippie. And they are they picked the color palette. So each artist gets 12 cans of this. It's so identical
it's the
box.
Same colors.
Yep. And they have 7 hours to paint something. And so Chris built this incredible freestanding like 8-foot by 16-foot wall on casters so you can move around. So we're gonna tape a line down the middle so they get 8-foot by 8-foot each. They'll paint right next to each other, and they don't know what the theme is yet. So they will learn the theme the day of. Show up. They don't know what the colors are either.
Right.
So they basically show up. They get their box of paint and they will learn what the theme is at that time. And they're only allowed to bring like a sketchbook and some spray paint caps. And I was like, bring some cardboard for overspray. Obviously, like that's fine. But like no other tools. So like it is going to be intense.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's so awesome. And so
is this the first year you've done the paint battle?
Yes, it's our first year. And I'm very excited. And I have to say that is made possible by our sponsor, AdCraft, is sponsoring the paint battle.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the ones who are making this happen. So super
That's
excited.
Awesome.
And we'll have they've got a nice tent for us too. We'll have our DJ. Although I think our DJ, the associate, who is also a dear friend, his name is Chad Jensen, but his DJ name is the associate. And it's pretty amazing. We're like, you need to get a helmet like I forget the band. Who's the band that like...
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Dead Mouse?
Dead Mouse is a great example.
Right.
But he... maybe I'll buy him a helmet. It depends how hot it is that day, though, because I don't think I can afford the ones that have like fans in them.
Right.
Daft Punk. Thank you. Yes, it's Daft Punk. So he'll be out there in his El Camino. Of course. Right? How cool is that?
I have such a soft spot for like 80s luxury car, like just tanks.
Oh my gosh. Me too.
Like an old like Lincoln or Caddy from like 1980.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Whatever. Sign me up.
Yeah. So my parents, sidebar, yeah. My dad, I love my father. When he had his midlife crisis, instead of buying like a convertible, he bought like this Lincoln Mercury, like this huge car. And I was sort of like, okay, great. Everybody else's dad bought like a sports car and this is what you bought. And of course I ended up driving it in high school, but it was like a boat.
Yeah.
You're just like on a sofa.
And you float.
You do.
You don't feel a bump in the road.
You don't feel anything.
No.
Gosh.
They're incredible.
They are.
My grandfather was a Detroit steel worker, and so like always, like he was we're buying Detroit American cars, and always like leased a new Caddy like every 2 or 3 years, and like took exquisite care of that,
course.
So they were always immaculate, and they floated.
They are incredible, and I have yet to have a modern, like today, contemporary, like a vehicle that floats like that.
No.
You know?
I don't know. That
I don't think they make them like that anymore. No. I just boomered myself.
I know.
I don't make them like that anymore.
Back when I was a kid.
I know, when I was a kid. anyway, sidetrack. So yeah, so they're going to be there, and then Chad doing all of that. And then, as if that weren't enough stuff, we have... our market that we're introducing this year,
right,
which is super brand new, but also wanting to open it up as an opportunity for artists and creative people to come and either sell their stuff or just introduce themselves to the community. So this year, and I'm going to say who's there, and then also I'm going to say who our artists are.
Yeah, so, please do.
Yeah, and I guess I'm kind of telling you, because if I forget, you can remind me.
Okay.
Because I'll probably forget. I literally called my friend, Matt Parbs, who is our board president, also a dear friend, and like, you know, he's just like, he's so helpful to me, and I was like, I had an idea, and I'm like, oh, but I can't text this, write this down right now, because I'm driving, and then I was trying to figure out how to talk to my notes. Anyway, I just called him. I was like, are you busy? He's like, oh, I'm fine. I'm like, hey, I need you to write this down in an email and send it to me. So, because I'll forget.
So I remember, right.
Yeah. So anyway, I guess I'm telling you, don't let me forget to talk about our artists, because without them, none of this is possible.
Sure.
Okay. So our vendors, I will get the old, I should have brought my readers, because that's my life now.
There's a boomer right there.
I know. I messaged my friend the other day. I guess I'm at Walgreens looking for readers now. That's what I do.
Well, don't tell anyone, but these are transitional trifocals. So.
Oh, dang. Yeah. Good.
You don't see the lines anymore.
You don't see the lines. No. Well, I won't tell. Your secret's safe with me. I'm a dead giveaway because I have to put this back here so I can read it. I need it 5 miles away from me, and I still have to zoom. Okay, so our art market, we have our PIB merch table, which will also house artist swag. So I know some of my artists are bringing in prints and different things, so that'll be available for like a little token, a keepsake. And our merch, PIB merch, we will have a few totes that we have left in addition to our t-shirts and some tumblers and koozies. We have Zangas, which is Heather Housengay from Mount Carroll. We have Jay Pauly, also from Mount Carroll, two artists, super excited to have them. We also have Stevie Wicks. She is a local Clinton artist, and so she's going to have her booth. We have Vavrosky Art, who is Quad City represent.
Miranda,
super excited to have her there. And then we have Lions Classic Tattoo. Our friend John Smalls just moved back to the area after 25 years. He's tattooed everywhere, and he's like opening up he bought a building and is opening up a classic tattoo parlor.
Ooh,
on Main
cool.
Avenue, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
And so he was like, can I have a booth and a tent? And like, and just, yeah, so go on.
I love that tattooing has gotten to a place where, like, I can have a vintage bougie tattoo parlor versus, like, this is in a back room in an alley and you go out and
it is
Sailor Pete will take the cigarette out of his mouth and jab you.
Once he's done with that bottle of rum, he'll get right to you.
Yeah, but it, like, that's an art form.
Oh, it absolutely.
I feel has just taken a while to for finally, mainstream right. acceptance.
Acceptance, exactly. So, I'm super excited that he'll be there and that he's in our community and opening up a business and a parlor. And he will also, I believe, he said... And you'll just have to ask when you go there. But I believe he's going to do a raffle or give away a free tattoo.
Oh, cool.
Which is super cool.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're not cheap.
They're
not cheap. So those are our art market, our art vendors, I should say, in our market area. And then we have our, like, sort of fashion area, our fashion tents. So we have a Mitts Lounge, Jessica Fole Paisley from Dubuque, who is just an creative powerhouse and a dear friend. I absolutely adore her. She created a Mitts magazine, which is like a high-end fashion magazine, yeah. Because she was like, there's a lot of like fashion happening in the Midwest, but no one's really amplifying that or celebrating that or giving it a place, a venue where it can be seen and displayed, right?
Sure.
So she created this beautiful magazine called Amidst Magazine. But out of that, she also ended up creating this incredible community of creatives. And so now it's shift in addition to fashion. Now it's like this online creative community. And she's just growing this and amplifying it. So she is bringing the fashion and lounge to Clinton, which is so awesome. And her focus is on, you know, both of my vendors for my fashion tents, they're focused on sustainability. So it's all repurposed vintage clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so with Jessica's booth or her tent, there's a clothing swap. So you can bring an item and take an item if you want to, which is great. There is the upscaling or I forget the word. Because I have no brain cells left from this festival. But you can she'll have patches or different things that you can like do. So
upcycle.
Thank you, Ben.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you. So upcycle station. And then she has like a photo booth area. So she will style you and
that's
have a midi
fun.
Photo shoot. How
that's
fun
super
is that?
Fun. Yeah.
So all of that is available, and then the Amidst has their signature scent, which is actually incredible. It's all I wear, and I will be hand painting the bottles that it comes in,
cool.
So that'll be unique to the festival, and you can only get them there. So that's super cool. And then in another booth, but also Dubuque our indigenous artist, Emerald from Pink Moons Cree, and she does beadwork, so she'll have her art and her beadwork for sale. There and on display, so I'm excited to have her. And then we have my friend Carrie Denier, who does Mama Gets Casual, also vintage clothing, and it's this whole boho glam vibe as she's partnering with my friend Danica, who owns Spring Lake Campground in Savannah. So it's like all this fun, you know, it's like super fun, right? Like, how fun
yeah,
is that?
This is amazing. This is like the event of the summer.
I mean... You said it. I appreciate that. Yes.
One thing I want to
ask
you about, because mm-hmm. I mean, as you're sitting here talking about this festival, the thing that strikes me is in the time I have known you, and I met you when I first started working at Quad City Arts, mm-hmm. and you were working on the Grove at that time.
Yeah.
And just about to install that is your passion for art and public art and placemaking and community.
Mm-hmm.
But B, and I always admire this trait so much in people, like you're a doer.
Mm-hmm.
Like you are not someone who waits for opportunities to come. Like you make your own opportunities and you just go out and you do the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. What has that evolution been? been like for you as an artist? Because I have some of that as well. Mm-hmm. And I know that came from a lot of years of being frustrated mm-hmm. while I waited for the golden thing to fall from the sky.
Yeah.
So I'd love to hear about your journey with that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is wild, firstly. Mm-hmm. It is super wild. I feel like, is that for him? Sorry. I squirreled. So I feel like that journey, where to even begin? It's been totally insane and wild and beautiful and wonderful. And I think really all of that, I don't know that I was always a doer. Mm-hmm. I think for a long time I waited for the opportunity to come. And maybe not always with art, but maybe when I was focused more on poetry and writing and things like that.
Sure.
But really it was when I finally stepped in and said and really focused on creating art, visual art and paintings and things like that, that I started to, honestly, my first grant I ever got was a Quad City Arts grant, and that changed my life because it was like the most validating experience. And I was like, oh, wow, people like, and it was like for, I don't even know, I think it was like to do art class with kids and talk about abstract art or something like that. But it gave me, I was like, oh, and I like, my friend, I think Matt Parbs, he also vice president of Groklin, he like sent me the link and I was like, okay, I'll just apply. And I got it. I was like, oh, I can do this. And that was all I needed, was to be like, I can do this, you know? And I realized too that like, if I wanted things to happen, because I had in my heart from 2016, 2017 was like, how do I bring more art to Clinton? How do I bring art to Clinton? Like, we need art. It matters. It's important. You know, what do I do? What do I do? And I finally was like, well, you just do it. You just make it. You just do it. Like, you can't wait for people to, you know, sometimes you can't wait for people to help you either. You just have to do it. And so the Quad City Arts Grant, and then I got, that gave me the confidence to apply to Iowa Arts Council. And I got that grant and I was like, okay. And that changed everything. And then from there, I never looked back and I just kept doing. And now it's so wild to me that I ever waited.
Right.
Because now I don't know any other. It's like the hardwiring of my brain has completely transformed. And now I'm just do.
Yeah.
And like, it's weird. Like, I'm not afraid. I just do it. And I just, I dive in.
Well, and I know I find with that, like, when you're active doing the projects, mm-hmm. that's what triggers your brain.
Yeah.
To come up with the next one.
Oh, yeah.
Because otherwise constantly. You're just sitting in that, like.
Right. I think that you really hit it. That is so true. It was like, you know, it's the combination. I got the grant that did, and then so it was like, oh, next. And once you start doing, then your brain is like, oh, I mean, I have like 5,000 ideas that I still want to do and projects that I still want to do.
Yeah.
You know? I'm going to do as many of them as I possibly can while I'm on this mortal coil, you know? Like, I'll do it. You
don't have any other time.
Right, exactly.
That we know of.
To my earthly knowledge. So,
So you're, as you said, you're also opening your own art studio or gallery as part of this. You have your studio already.
Yeah.
But what's the gallery going to be? Is it going to be strictly your stuff or all local artists, regional?
It'll be, you know, hopefully we local, regional, national, all of it.
Yeah.
All of it. I mean, like, I'll have my stuff, some of my stuff hanging up, mostly just because I need more space. But part of my mission and goal as an artist is really like, is to create opportunities for other artists. Like, that's really important for me. And access. Like, the reason I was so inspired by The Grove, and even when I was doing projects where it was like, I did a project called Wild, and I made a collection of artwork based on my favorite places, natural landscapes of Clinton, Iowa. And then I had an art opening in the Sawmill Museum. And, I mean, it was fun. I love painting, right? So that is how all of this began, is because I paint, and I still I paint every day. Yeah. Even if it's 5 minutes, I paint every day. Sometimes I'm lucky and I get an hour, but I paint every day because if I don't, none of this is possible.
Right.
So it was fun to curate a collection, but what I really wanted was to offer Clinton a gallery experience where you go to a place and it's like, you know, there's wine and cheese and it was catered and all the grant paid for all of that, but I was able to cater it. I had beer, I had wine, I had, you know, refreshments, and it was like art hung really nicely. And I, yeah, you know, it was amazing. And people were like, I can't believe I'm seeing this in Clinton, Iowa. And it was accessible. And that's right. Why I want. And that really inspired me to do, I wanted, but I was like, okay, I need more access. I need public. And that was the Grove. Right. And I wanted, and it was really important for me that it was like, that you could immerse yourself, like you could walk through it. That's why I call it an art forest. And I wanted it to be on the same level as the person who was looking at it.
Right.
That there is no distinction between you or the art. Because, you know, a lot of times I think we just sort of, like when you see something hanging on a wall, you're like, oh, it's fancy, don't touch it. A lot of people feel like, that's not for me.
Sure.
That's not meant for me.
Right.
Right? But when it's like, in the ground, and you can like, you could touch it if you wanted to. It's like, yeah. Oh, okay. Right. So and then that was the impetus where I was like, okay, paint it back. Like street art, murals, walls, you can take your picture. Like it is for everyone all the time. All 365.
Well, and it's in the title and like hearing you talk. And so much of that idea of you as an artist giving back to your community and having that cycle, because yes, you know, that's that cycle of giving.
Yes.
It's that sustains everyone.
Exactly. It's exactly.
Yeah.
That is really what it is. And honestly, like just talking about it with you, I'm like realizing, like, you know, when I make a painting, I'm like taking colors and the brush and I, you know, I'm picking out which brush I want and the colors I want and like I'm almost orchestrating this like visual poem, you know, yeah, what I mean? And so, and I'm placing different things in different areas and then you have the work of art. To me, these things are no different. There's art, but there's also, it's the art of the creating of the event, the curating of the event, of the experience that you're giving to this, to a community and right, to people, you know, that to me is maybe the highest form of art there ever is. And it's in the name of service,
right?
Which is like, it is everything. It is everything.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I get a little emotional about it, but it's like,
it's very inspiring hearing you talk about it.
It is everything. And it is what I believe so profoundly in the power of art and what it can do for individuals and groups and larger communities and regions. And I think it is in, for me and my world, it is the way forward. It's what I know and it's what I can do for my community to make a difference. And that's what I will do until, yeah, again, I'm the...
Well, and, you know, and you talked about this on your website, and it's something we talk about at Quad City Arts a lot. But, you know, not only is this bringing art and cultural vibrancy to Clinton, mm-hmm, but the economic impact of an event like this...
Oh, yeah.
...is...
It's real.
It's real.
It's real.
You know, how many people are going to come into downtown Clinton,
yes,
for the weekend of the festival? How many people are going to spend money there, whether at your vendors or other vendors?
Right.
How many people are going to get hotels? How many people are going to...
Yes. And it, like, and I can tell you, I know people are getting hotels because they're my friends, but they're from out of town.
Right.
They're coming in from Dubuque and Burlington and Des Moines, and they're getting hotel rooms.
Yeah.
And I've had on Main Avenue where we are, like, I've had business owners be like, yeah, I noticed an increase of sales when you have your festival.
Yeah.
That's huge. So when I told you fast or rewind to when I first was talking about how Paint It Back started, I was one of the only, I bought my building and it was like the Wild West. And right, my friend Ben Irwin, he bought the building to the left of me. But we were like, we're just here. We got to renovate these buildings. Now, since that time and since Paint It Back, and I'm not saying Paint It Back is the reason, but I also know it's a factor.
Right.
Right? Someone else bought another building and is gutting the inside and redoing all of it. and another guy just bought a huge building and is saving a building that was on the brink of being torn down, and he is restoring it back to its glory. You gotta wonder, I don't know if it's because of Paint It Back, but I also know Paint It Back helps. Seeing that there's this huge building covered in murals that drives traffic has got to help. Maybe on a subconscious level, you're like, okay, there's life here. It's worth it, right? Like I can see this developing and blowing up.
Well, and people want to be a part of.
Yes.
You know, and you've created something here that people see and see the impact of it and how successful it's been. And they say, oh, I want to be close to that.
Yeah, yeah. You know? It's exciting, of course, yeah.
It makes me, you know, kind of going back to what you were saying very early on about, to use the dirty word for it, gentrification of neighborhoods.
Yes.
And like, you know, when I was in New York, I lived in Harlem and like saw that happening.
In real time.
In real time.
Yes.
As I was living in that neighborhood. But, you know, you think about like the Sohos and Brooklyns of that area that are now like bougie and expensive, but those all became that because they were rundown areas. Artists flocked there because of low rents.
Yes, I mean that's
and just started creating, and then people say, "We want to be part of that."
Exactly, it's contagious in the best way possible.
Yeah.
It's the energy, because art is energy. Right?
Yeah.
It is a sign of life and hope. Right? And so, like, I was talking about this with a friend. Chris and I have been painting some murals in different places this summer. And, you know, if you have two smaller communities, and we were just hypothetically, I was just talking, right? But you have two towns, one town, and they're both the same, small, maybe with some older buildings or whatever. One building or one town has zero murals. The other town is covered in murals. What town are you going to be like, you know what? I wonder if they got ice cream here. Like, what do you think? You want to just pull over and see what, right?
Yep.
It's because there's a sign of life and of care. Like, you care, like you're proud enough about your community that you invest in putting up art, right? We're saying it's an energy and it's contagious and people want to be a part of that. And it's really what the power of art and artists and public art is a signifier that we exist and we're here and we're gonna be here and we're excited and we care and we have this energy and this vibe. And I think that's really like, we're a beacon. That's the word. Art is a beacon. It is a beacon and an indicator, you know, that things are here.
Well, and it makes me think about, and we'll tie things in a bow here real quick, but it makes me think about that idea of like Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yes.
Of like food, shelter, whatever, and then art. And like that indicates like, hey, we got the basics.
Yeah.
And we're at this stage.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Because if you see that a community has art and murals and public art,
yeah.
Then you're like, oh man, they're doing great. Like they must have a good coffee shop. They must have these things, right?
Yeah.
It really is a social indicator. It is a cue.
Yeah.
Whether or not people are cognizant of it or not, it really is. It is a beacon of like, yeah, we're going on. We got things going on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Before I forget too, I know we need to wrap it up. I need to make sure I give my website and socials or my marketing.
We
front
can do
will
that.
Kill me. Because I didn't say, also the artists. Can I say their names?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So, also, that was an awesome discussion. Thank you.
Yeah. I feel like we could sit here and talk for like
two hours.
Oh,
I know.
Hours,
me too. But I know that someone's got to.
Well, then we get into like 4-hour podcast.
Or
Joe
you do
Rogan
have
land.
To, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I will say, so we are so fortunate. Our artists this year, we have I mentioned Donald Ross.
Yep, from Kansas
Scribe City. From Kansas City. We have Juan Kim, who goes by Revise, from Chicago. It's so awesome. We have Emit, who, also known as Chuck, from Denver. James Foster from Denver as well, goes by East. We have Hippie, or Louie, from Los Angeles. And Wes, who goes by West77. He is Wes is always bopping around, but I think he'll be from Arizona technically by the time our festival hits. We have Brandon Price, who goes by Brando. There's Chris Shannon and myself, Gabby Torres. And then this year we have three guest artists who are coming at the tail end of things. And so I'll just give their artist names. We have Kind from Chicago, Diosa from Mexico City, and Chucho from Chicago.
That's awesome.
So super excited. And they'll be like our live painters at So while there's the music, you can see, especially Kind and the US will be finishing their bookend murals on the long wall in the back. So it'll be super rad and super cool.
That's awesome. Well, give us the info where we can find everything about it.
Yes. So we have best places are, well, there's paintitback.org, which is our website. Mm-hmm. And then our socials is probably also an equally, if not maybe slightly better place to check on things. Just because also it's fun because we're always having Ari Leverenz as our marketing guru and she's always posting reels and stuff. And that is Paint It Back Fest. That's it. Paint It Back Fest.
Love it.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
Yeah. No tricky letters or anything in there.
No, we...
No Y's.
We did, Z's. At some point, we did have a lot of dots and periods in our Instagram handle and Ari was just like, this isn't going to work. Yeah. And I was like, you are the boss, Applesauce. I trust you. Like, yes, I defer to your judgment. Change it.
Well, thank you so much for coming and chatting today, Gabby. I should definitely get you back again. And we can just talk other art because what you do is inspiring and it's important.
Thank you.
And I know I am just very grateful that you're in our orbit here in the Quad City. So thanks for all you do.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thanks for all that you do and Quad City Arts does for artists. Like really, that grant, that was the first grant. And it was the first of it changed my life. Yeah. Really, really. So you guys are.
And now you're giving it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
You rock.
You rock.
For more information on Gabby and Paint It Back, you can visit www.paintitback.org or for Gabby herself, www.gbart.studio. I'm Ben Goujon, and this was Talking Art.